In December of 2006, there was a 94-year-old legally blind lady who honestly bowled a score of 244. Now, for those of you who know bowling scores, that's a pretty good score. On my best day, I break 100. So this 94-year-old legally blind lady in December 2006 bowled 244. Her name is Esther Medley of Centralia, and she's legally blind and is unable to see straight ahead. But it's not stopped her from moving forward as a bowler. AP reports that Medley is aided by her 86-year-old husband, Ralph, who instructs her which pins are left after her first ball strikes the pins. The teamwork is what has allowed her to reach a grand score of 244. Her score included 8 strikes at a fairway lanes in Centralia and was the second highest score of the year for her league. Now, Esther is able to bowl so well, not because she has vision, but because her husband has vision, and because they work together as a team to accomplish this bowling score. I think that's just an incredible story. But it's not so different from the way we serve God. You see, we don't have vision of the future, but God does. And when we will listen to God, and when we will connect with God and seek Him for understanding of which pins are left, if you will, He will grant us that vision. He will give us the vision for the future so that we can move forward into His will and get a perfect score, so to speak. Well, this evening we're considering the vision of the church in light of our mission statements. If you would, allow me just to take a second to clarify the difference between mission and vision. If you have a bulletin, you'll see our mission statement on the back of the bulletin. Underneath our values, you'll see our mission statements. The mission of this church, or in other words, the aim of this church, is simple. It's a 3-point plan. It's reach up, reach in, and reach out. And I can almost guarantee you that there's 100 other churches here in Austin with those same 3 points. It's nothing new. It's nothing special. Reach up to God. Connect with Him. Communicate with God. Worship Him. Reach in, have a community, a church. Reach out, well, reach out to those outside of the church. Very simple mission. But the vision of our church defines the way in which we plan to accomplish those 3 points. The vision is the way in which we plan to accomplish our mission. Many churches can say that their mission is to reach up, reach in, and reach out. But it's the vision of each church that sets apart each church. So the 100 other churches that share that same mission statement are not going about accomplishing their mission in the same exact way that we are. It's not to suggest that the way they're going about it is wrong and we're right, or they're right and we're wrong. Let me give you guys a little bit more understanding about what I mean by this. I think if you'll allow me the liberty to compare churches to restaurants. I'm not talking about Church's Chicken, although that is good chicken. But let's compare the church and churches to restaurants. Let's compare 2 restaurants to each other, first of all. You have Chili's and you have Chewy's. 2 different restaurants, right? Both establishments could suggest that their mission is to serve good food to hungry people, right? That could be stated as the mission of both restaurants. Both Chili's and Chewy's attempt to serve good food to hungry people. But the vision about how they're going to accomplish their mission is drastically different. Chili's, well, it's a national chain, and they're attempting to appeal to a national audience. So they make food that's safe. It's not too spicy. It's not too out of the ordinary. They keep up with the modern trends. We know what we're going to expect when we go to a Chili's. We know the food that we're going to get. We know the burger, what it's going to taste like. We know the chicken crispers and what they're going to taste like. We know what we're going to get when we go to a place like that. So you could say that it's predictable. It's predictable food. Corporate food. Nothing wrong with that. There's many people who like Chili's. Nothing wrong with that. Chewy's, on the other hand, it's unusual. You know, the first time you go in there, you don't know what you're about to eat, or you don't know what you're going to order. The names are kind of weird, and it's unique. You know, there's no other restaurant in the world like Chewy's, right? It's not like you go to every town USA, and there's a Chewy sitting there with hubcaps and Elvis signs and stuff. Most things are painted pink. It's eclectic. You know, they bring in all these different styles and elements to create the atmosphere. It's eclectic food. It's you know, very, very different. It's not actually Tex-Mex, but it's not actually Mexican food. It's kind of a combination of Rio Grande Valley Mexican food with Tex-Mex. And it's just unique. It's eclectic. It's a wonderful place. Now, both restaurants are here locally. But only one of the two actually has a local flavor. You know, Chili's is a corporation where Chewy's is a local entity. One is doing traditional cookie-cutter corporate-style food. The other is doing just kind of out-of-the-ordinary, unusual, one-of-a-kind type food based in a local community. Now, again, let me state that neither way is necessarily wrong. I'm not saying that either way is wrong. Everybody that goes to Chili's, I'm sure they're walking out full and happy. And everyone that goes to Chewy's, well, they're looking for a glass of water because their mouth's on fire. And they're happy. Both places are fine, but the question is, what's the vision of each restaurant for accomplishing the mission to serve good food to hungry people? Well, they go about it two different ways. Another way to look at the difference, or I should say another way that I'd like to talk about the church is through architecture. But understand this, that there are churches here in Austin right now that are using reach in, reach up, reach in, and reach out with a Chili's approach to doing church. Their church is not unlike most churches that you would go to throughout America. Kind of corporate, you know, kind of, this is what we do. You know, we have our lady with the organ and the choir, and, you know, they wear their robes, and all the robes match, and, you know, this is how they do church. And every church that you go to like that is going to be like that. Nothing wrong with that. That's great. They're going to sing all out of the same hymnals, you know, and whatnot. Even contemporary churches can be very cookie cutter, and, you know, we all do the same Matt Redman songs, and, you know, it can be, you know, very cookie cutter. And that's okay. That's cool. But my passion is different. I want to be the unique church. I want to be the local flavor church, the spicy church, the church that's kind of willing to get out of the box a little bit and, you know, think a little differently than other churches. Not when it comes to theology, but even in our approach at teaching the Bible is unique. Compared to most churches. Most churches won't teach the Bible line by line, verse by verse. And so in staying so close to the Scriptures, we remain unique. I want to be a corporate church. I want to be a church that is made up of local people with a local flavor, a grassroots church, a church that represents South Austin. Not even just Austin, but South Austin. That's our church. But let's talk about architecture. Because modern architecture is very much different from traditional architecture. Traditionally, when you would design a building, and my dad's an architect, and I'd watch him design, and, you know, they would use the same sort of masonry all the way around the building, and, you know, you go to traditional homes, and, you know, it's the same brick all the way around, or it's the same paneling all the way around, and it's just... there was a sameness to the design elements. You look at older buildings, and there's just a certain design element that says we're starting with this brick, we're ending with this brick, and everything on this building is going to be out of this brick, or we're starting with this glass, we're ending with this glass, and it's just all going to be the same glass. Well, today's architecture is a lot different. Today's architecture is much more eclectic. You see, today's style of architecture, buildings are made up of various elements, different forms of masonry and metals and different woods and stains on woods and different kinds of glass and different kinds of painted surfaces. I was having lunch with a friend at Freebirds today. And not only is the food phenomenal there, but, you know, you're sitting in this place that architecturally, I mean, if you look at the design elements inside the building, halfway up the wall is brick, you know, surrounded by just this metal grid work and then painted murals on the walls and just all these different elements that would almost seem to clash if you were to look at them just laid out. If you were to say, well, we're going to use this form of masonry and these yellow metal beams and this glass and this painted surface, and we're going to put all this together in a room. And you look at it and just be like, you're going to do what? That just doesn't look like it's going to go at all. But then you walk into Freebirds and you wouldn't want it any other way. That's exactly how it ought to be. Well, that's the way I see our church. Some of you guys are different forms of masonry and different forms of glass and metal, and we're all made up of these different elements. And if you were to see this group of people walking through the mall, you would never expect that we were all sitting together at church. You wouldn't ever expect that we just got through singing worship songs to God together, sitting side by side. But we were. It would seem like it might clash, but it doesn't. Because God is our focus. This is Calvary South Austin. So let's consider, in light of these things, in light of looking at the church through the difference between Chewy's and Chili's and the different forms of architecture and being eclectic, let's take all this into account as I talk about some of the things we want to accomplish through Calvary South Austin. The first thing is, of course, is reaching up. We want to reach up at Calvary South Austin. Now, reaching up has to do with connecting with God. And if you would open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Typically, we would do a line-by-line, verse-by-verse study through the Bible, but tonight, since it's a vision night, we're going to step out of that for an evening and just take this topical message about our vision. In Mark chapter 12, we're going to start with verse 28. It says, "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment.'" And so, our number one, our numero uno on the mission list is reach up. That is our first and most important role as a Christian, to reach up, to learn how to love God and to love Him, and to love Him together, corporately. Here at Calvary, we want to provide opportunities to learn how to love God. What does it mean to love God? I mean, God is this unseeable, you know, you don't hear His voice, you don't hold His hand, you know, you can't mail Him a card. So how do you love God? Well, here at church, Calvary South Austin, we want to provide opportunities to learn how to love God, as well as provide opportunities to corporately express that love to God. Through worshiping, we have our Sunday and Wednesday night worship services where we come together to sing to Him. And the songs that we want to choose modern contemporary songs. We want the band to be a rockin' band. There's churches that call their music contemporary, but when you listen to it, it really just sounds kind of like rock from the 80s, you know. And there's nothing contemporary about that. You know, I like a jamming worship team, man, and we've got a team that jams. That's the way I want it here. We're right smack dab in the middle of an artistic community full of musicians. And when musicians walk in the door, I want them to be stoked about what's going on here at Calvary South Austin. What about a Bible study? You know, I mean, some of the sermon illustrations that I use, some of the jokes that I might tell, some of the ways that I might present the Bible, you know, might not fly in a lot of churches, you know what I'm saying? I guess you do. It's the way I want it, though, you know. I mean, anybody can go to any old church and get a milquetoast sermon that's tame and safe. I like mine a little spicy, you know. I like to be a little on the edge there because that's the way I am. And I think that all the other churches that are doing it differently than us, that's great. And there's going to be lots of people that fit in there. But this ain't your mama's church. It's just not. And I'm not making any apologies about it because I know that there's going to be people that who are ministered because of it. But this is something that we want to provide for you guys to learn how to worship and learn how to love God. We also provide a children's ministry and a youth ministry where kids are being taught on their level, at their age group level, so that they can learn at their age the importance of loving God. Ministry that is fresh and exciting for kids. Ministry that kids go, come on, Mom, get up. Let's go to church. Come on, Dad. Let's not miss it this Sunday. The kind of church that kids are just stoked to go be a part of. A women's ministry. We have Eve 31 here. A women's ministry. The Tuesday night studies and the retreats. You know, for women who are artsy and eclectic and interesting and they're going to be doing some neat crafts and all kinds of different stuff that I hope that women are going to enjoy. We have a men's ministry also with monthly Bible studies, and we're about to begin our bi-weekly prayer groups, and we have our camping trips. And the way we present worship to God, I want that to be to today's man. Not the 80s guy. Not the 90s guy, but today. You know, when Jesus came and hung out with people, he didn't put on the clothes from 40 years before and, you know, act like people didn't act. I mean, he lived in the time period that he was in. He ministered to the people who were alive in his time period. So understand that we're not trying to present a Puritan approach at, you know, accomplishing church. You know, we don't think that, you know, well, you better wear clothes from 1933 in order to fit in here. We want men and women at this church and kids at this church to be able to walk into this church like they walk into anywhere else and understand that God meets us where we're at. And so we have a women's ministry, a men's ministry, a youth ministry, a children's ministry, a general church service that is created to accept people right where they're at. Not a hose crew at the front door who says, we better clean you up before you come in. It's not what we're doing here. We have a college career ministry that just started called Edge. And it's just that. It's on the edge. Before I became senior pastor here, I was college pastor at Calvary Austin. And we did cutting-edge ministry at the campus. I'm loving to see that that's starting here, too. A marriage seminar that's, well, a lot of you guys were there. How many marriage seminars you been like that? Anybody ever been to a marriage seminar like that before? Because we want to minister to the needs of marriages today. So God is strengthening marriages through our marriage seminar. We have a youth camp that is completely cutting edge. Awesome stuff. We bring in big inflatable, you know, fun type things where we had a boxing ring with big blow up gloves and kids were getting up in there and just tearing it up. It was awesome. Brought in some live bands last year to the youth camp. Kids were totally stoked about it. So, all these things that we've been doing I've been wanting to do, and we have been doing with that cutting edge Austin approach to doing ministry. In the future, we, you know, right now we have a junior high class for second service, but in the future, I'd like to see a junior high class for first service as well. As we move into our next building and have the room, I'd like to see a high school ministry begin. The plan is to have an actual marriage ministry where it's not just a seminar that happens, you know, once a year, but we have an actual marriage ministry that's meeting regularly. We plan to roll out something that we've done before. We did something called the Faith and Reason Forum. But the future for this church holds an apologetics day. You might be wondering, well, what's apologetics? You know, well, it's not apologizing for the fact that we're Christians. Apologetics is the ability to defend your faith. And so, you know, we'll be doing a yearly seminar where we bring in speakers and actually teach you, you know, how you can give a good defense for why you believe what you believe. So these are going to be the various ways that, that in the future we want to provide cutting-edge ways for us to come together corporately and learn how to love God and express that together. Excuse me. Let's talk about reaching in. Reaching in has to do with building a community of believers who are committed to each other. If you would, turn to 1 John chapter 3. We all have earthly families. That's true. For some of us, those earthly family bonds are very strong. For others, like myself, I left home when I was a kid, and I don't have a relationship with my family, so it's not real hard to not go see them because I just didn't really grow up around them. So either way, whether you have strong family bonds or whether you have looser family bonds, the thing that we have to understand is that when we become Christians, the church is your true family. And if your relatives are Christians, then bonus. If they're not, then we ought to be reaching out to them so that they can be part of our true family. But in Christianity, the church is the true family. This is the everlasting family. This is the family that you're going to go to heaven with forever and ever and ever and ever. Some of you guys might even have to live next door to me. And so in 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 11. Here's what it says. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So there's that word, those words, love one another. Look at verse 23, 1 John 3, 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now go to the next chapter, 1 John chapter 4, looking at verse 7. 1 John 4, 7 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. 1 John 4, 11 and 12 says this, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Now, as a matter of fact, if you take these three words, love one another, and you do a word search in the Bible, you'll find this, that John 13, John 15, in two different places, Romans 12, Romans 13, Galatians 5, Ephesians 4, 1 Thessalonians 3 and 4, Hebrews 10, 1 Peter 1 and 3, and then the verses in 1 John that we just read, and then 2 John chapter 1, all contain the command to love one another. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems pretty important, doesn't it? That we ought to love one another. Reaching in has everything to do with loving one another. As we reach up to God and worship him and love him, we want to receive the love from God so that we can turn around and use that love that we receive from God to then love one another. Excuse me. So based on this evidence that we're commanded over and over and over and over again to love one another, reaching in is a big part of our life. Reaching in ought to be a huge part of our life. Well, let's talk about the opportunities we have here at Calvary South Austin to reach in. Current opportunities are these. You know, every Wednesday night after the Bible study, there's 30 minutes set aside with food on the back table back there. And, you know, it's a time that's been set aside just to interact socially. Just for us to come together as a church and to meet and to hang out and to get to know one another and to minister to one another. This is in reach. There's the baptism and picnic, you know, and oftentimes I hear people say that they're not going to go to that because they're not getting baptized, you know. But remember, it's a baptism and picnic. Are you not going to picnic either, you know? Anybody can picnic. You don't have to be baptized to picnic, and you know, if not getting baptized is holding you back, then come on out. We'll baptize you a second time. That's fine. The whole point is that it's an in-reach. It's a time that we come together as a church family to hang out and just have a good time. Get to know one another. Experience your Christian family before you go to heaven. It's unfortunate that too many Christians, what they see as being part of Christianity is they just roll into church as late as they can on Sunday and roll out as quick as they can. And that's it. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because you guys are here on Wednesday night. You guys are the truly chosen of God. But showing up to church late on Sunday and leaving as early as you can, that's not Christianity. That's just doing church. Christianity is all about breaking bread together, fellowshipping together, hanging out and having relationships together. So, the baptism and picnic, that's what that's all about. The chili cook-off. I love the chili cook-off, right? I know I do. I'm still full from that last chili cook-off. And yes, it is about cooking chili. But more so, it's about hanging out and having fellowship with one another. We have play dates where stay-at-home moms are getting together with their kids and other kids here in the church, and they're going and hanging out, being a part of what's going on with other families here in the church. We have a hospitality ministry which prepares food for families who one of the parents is hospitalized or the wife just had a child, and you know it's kind of hard to prepare food for the family. And so we have a hospitality ministry that's providing those meals for that family. Those are current opportunities that you can be involved in. You can get involved in those things to reach into this church and love one another. More opportunities are coming, too. You know, we have plans for a Father Sunday where we do some cool events, fathers and their sons. We have an idea for a dinner for eight type situation where four couples get together and go out and have dinner with each other. There are Christian concerts that we're thinking through and trying to put together. So, that, you know, we did a Larry Perry's CD release party here recently, and we want to do more stuff like that, where we have Christian concerts going on. One of the things that we're hoping to do in the next building that we have is actually start a Christian daycare, you know, so that families in our church can, you know, start utilizing our church as a place for daycare instead of wondering, you know, if the place that they're taking their kid is safe and that sort of thing. We also want to eventually provide, when we get a bigger building, we want to provide classes on art and music for homeschool children. So, you know, parents who, you know, homeschool their kids, a lot of times they don't have artistic abilities themselves, but would like to provide that opportunity to their homeschool children. And that's one thing that you can miss. Having homeschool children is you might miss out on art classes or music classes. So we'd like to provide, you know, a certain time in the daytime when families with homeschooled children could, you know, just bring all their kids up to learn, you know, guitar or learn how to paint or use computer graphics or computer video editing and stuff like that. So that's stuff that we want to do when we get a bigger building. Guys, understand that I'm just scratching the surface of some of the things that we might be able to accomplish in the next year or two. You know, beyond that, there's so much more that God's put on my heart, but I don't want to give anybody a heart attack. Let's talk about reach out then, the third platform in our mission statement. Reaching out has to do with local, national, and international missions. And if you would, turn to Luke chapter 24. And we'll be looking at verse 46. The Great Commission has been given to the church by Jesus. And as Christians, we've been spiritually empowered to reach those who are not yet saved. And in Luke 24:46, we see Jesus saying this. He says, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Now, he's talking to people in Jerusalem. So it would only make sense that they start in Jerusalem, that they got not go somewhere else to go start, but start in Jerusalem and then go out from there. And we've taken that approach as a church. For us, this means we should begin in Austin, that we should accomplish reaching Austin and then start reaching out from there. So we want to preach the message of repentance and remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ to everyone. And we've begun that outreach here in Austin with a First Thursday outreach. And there's one coming up in March, the first Thursday in March. And we set up an art booth with art that's been donated from artists here in our church. We set that up on South Congress at the First Thursday Art Festival. And then we send out teams with tracks. And people stop by our booth, and we do outreach to those guys. And then other teams are walking around, and we're giving the gospel to those people. That's our First Thursday outreach. Another outreach that we've been doing, whether you realize it or not, is our Easter service. We've taken an approach with our Easter service to encourage you guys to take our flyers out and invite your friends and family members. And then we see those people show up to Easter service because there's just some weird knowledge in everyone that they need to be in church on Easter. So lots of people show up, and we have a cool band. This year we have the Violet Burning, who are going to lead worship for us. And we're going to present another message. Typically it's been apologetic in nature, evidence on the resurrection of Christ and whatnot. We've also done the Christmas gifts, where we, as a church, provide Christmas presents to families who aren't as well off. And we find families at Fulmar Middle School, where my wife is a PE coach, and we get gifts to those families, and as well send in a team to take those gifts to that family and share the gospel with those families. Whether you knew it or not, it's in the bulletin. There are two TV shows that we do on local access. One is a recording of the Sunday service. One is a pre-recording of a show that we were doing a couple years ago. We've also put together some documentary videos and have plans to do more of that. We have a campus group at Fulmar Middle School. And there's other ways that we've been doing outreach. That's all locally. Nationally, we've led a mission to Manti, Utah, to reach out to the Mormons. We've also led a team to Killeen, to a Jehovah's Witness event, and attempted to do outreach there. We've also been supporting here recently Pastor David Reynolds, who was sent out of Calvary Austin to continue the work at Calvary Chapel in College Station. And we here in Austin know if anybody needs Jesus, it's the Aggies. So we've been supporting David Reynolds with that church plant. Internationally, we've been supporting two missionaries. That's the Parkers in Morocco and the Mullahs in Tegucigalpa. But let's talk future tense. What are we doing in the future through for missions and reaching out? Well, most just right around the corner is spring break. And every spring break, thousands and thousands of people come to Austin, Texas for South by Southwest. And so this year we're going to send teams out on two different nights during South by Southwest on the Thursday night of spring break and on the Saturday night of spring break. We'll send teams down to 6th Street to reach out to all the people that are coming here to Austin. There's also the Trail of Lights that we're going to hit next year, where just tons and tons of families walk through this Trail of Lights all before Christmas. And we'll be doing outreach to the Trail of Lights. We're planning, I'm actually meeting with Jim Phillips from K-Glo tomorrow about getting our recordings of the Sunday service on that station. So we'll be doing outreach through the radio. The plan is to have outreach concerts. So I talked about Christian concerts a few minutes ago, and that would be bringing Christian bands in for the purpose of just entertainment for Christians. But we're also looking at doing outreach concerts. I know that Blaine, the guy you saw with the big frizzy hair on bass, you're laughing at his hair? I call him Sideshow Blaine. But Blaine and I came from the same music scene, and we actually had bands that played many shows together. We both got saved, and we also know a guy from the scene out of San Antonio that goes to Calvary San Marcos. And recently we put together a punk rock band called the Huguenots. So, you know, we're planning to do some outreach on 6th Street here in the near future. We've got a handful of songs written, working on some more. And, you know, we're going to try to go down to 6th Street and just do some outreach. And we have a plan as a church to raise up other bands, you know, as we find those who are interested in doing outreach like that. Then we're going to try to put together as many concerts that are Christians, you know, playing outreach-style music to try to reach the lost. Also, college campus outreach. If you consider my passion for college and why I have a passion specifically for college, the reason is this. When you go onto a college campus here in Austin, Texas, you interact with people from all around the world. College campuses here in Austin are actually a portal to the rest of the world because students from all over are coming. University of Texas is just filled full of foreigners, and that's awesome because you can do international missions right here in your own hometown. And so I love college ministry and college students because they're the easiest group to send in there and interact with all these people, not only just international students, but national students and then local students as well. So we plan to do college campus outreach as the college ministry grows. We were talking about the daycare a little while ago and the very very real possibility that we'll have a Christian daycare at when we get a bigger building and whatnot. But consider this, an outreach to single mothers who are not doing well. They can hardly get work, you know, that can support putting their child into daycare. And so they just get caught up into the welfare system, you know, because welfare pays a little bit better just for her to stay home than for her to actually go get a job and then put her child in daycare. Well, that's a catch-22 that's hard to get out of. Imagine if we as a church started offsetting the cost of a parent here, a parent there, a single parent who can just have free childcare, free daycare, so that they can get up on their feet until they can start making enough money to be able to afford their own daycare. It's a total outreach to our own community. So I'd love to see that happen in the near future. The plan is to actually, at some point in time in the future, send out pastors from this church to plant churches, you know, here in the local area. I mean, there's Dripping Springs, there's Bastrop, there's Elgin, there's all kinds of places around here that could use a Calvary Chapel. Then also nationally and internationally, sending out pastors and missionaries. We've done some disaster relief work when Katrina happened, and plan to also see more disaster relief work happen through this church. Internationally, our heart is very much for Spain, though. We have a desire because Spain becomes really sort of a portal into Europe as well as Morocco and those areas of northern Africa. Excuse me. So imagine, you know, developing a Bible college right there in Spain, maybe possibly Madrid, which is a college area, you know, and putting a Calvary Chapel Bible College right there and bringing missionaries from all around the world to learn how to be a missionary and then sending them into France and into Rome and into Morocco, you know, all just from right there, a missionary hub right there in Spain. So this is some of the exciting stuff that God is putting on my heart for the future of this church. But then remembering that the way we want to accomplish all of that, you know, is with that South Austin flavor of doing things, that grassroots, down-home Austin, Texas style of being eclectic and artistic, creative and modern, and just seeing just an eclectic group of people come together, a group of people that wouldn't make sense to bring all these people together to accomplish God's work until you see it happen. And then everybody just goes, that's got to be God. Because there's no way that group of people could come together in this way and do this amazing thing. It's got to be God. And if God's not going to get the glory out of this church, let's just go ahead and shut it down. Let's just go ahead and close the doors. Because I don't want the glory. I know what glorifying myself gets. It gets too many years of drug abuse and a messed up brain and a messed up life. That's what my glory gets me. And so I'm done with my glory. And I hope you are too, because I want this to be a church that glorifies God. Now, as we talk about all this cool stuff and we think about the future of this church, 2 years ago I stepped into this role. 2 years ago tonight. It was the first Wednesday in February. And that's why we do a vision night on the first Wednesday of February, because it's the one-year anniversary of me stepping in as pastor of this church. Now, 2 years ago, I'm looking at the size of this crowd, and it's, you know, more than doubled in size in 2 years. As a matter of fact, there was 30 people here at this church before I came and stepped in as pastor. And since then, 2 years have gone by. We've gone from 30 people at this church to about 150 people at this church. God's done a lot in 2 years, numerically. And, you know, it might be weird to talk about numbers for some of you guys, but I don't mind talking about numbers because I know I'm not about the numbers. If God wanted to keep this church, you know, growing slower, or if God wants this church to grow faster, then praise the Lord, whatever he's going to do, I just know it's going to grow. Here's why. Turn to Acts chapter 2. We've grown from 30 members to 150 members in 2 years. We've gone from one service to two services. Anybody have trouble parking in the parking lot tonight? Anybody have a... Nobody? Wow. Jaime? You did? Last guy in. You get here earlier. Nobody wants to admit it because nobody wants to admit they were last. Oh, no, I was here early. No parking problems. We're starting to have parking problems, aren't we? Yeah, we are. Because the church is growing. This growth is going to continue to happen. And I'm not speaking prophetically or anything. I'm not, let's say it to the Lord, this church will grow. Acts 2:40. Acts 2.40 says this, and with many other words, talking about Peter, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now that's explosive growth right there. 150 people from 30 over 2 years, I'm like, yawn. That's nothing. The church in Acts grew by 3,000 people after one message was preached. That's explosive growth. Well, I don't want the church to grow that fast because I won't know anybody. I want people to go to hell so that I can feel more comfortable at church. Is that what we're really saying here? I want people to stay lost so that I can have my little group. Isn't that neat? You know, if that's your mentality, there are lots of churches with that mentality, and you'll probably fit in very well with those churches. This church is going to grow. I make no apologies for that. And we're not about to start doing purpose-driven whatever, and we're not going to roll out the next greatest church growth plan and get the board up on the stage up here and let you guys know how your giving is, and, you know, just I don't go for all these weird, silly programs that get rolled out every year around Christmas time. I'm not interested. Right here, the word's being taught, and God added to the church. Look at verse 47, Acts 2:47. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Teach God's word, and the sheep get healthy. And what do healthy sheep do? Reproduce. Right? Healthy sheep reproduce. And if I'm teaching God's word, then you're getting healthy by listening. And if you're healthy, then you will naturally reproduce. Now, some of us have reproduced offspring here recently in the natural way. Congratulations, John Mark. But by reproduction, I'm really talking about salvation. I'm talking about through the natural outpouring of what's been going on in our lives, people go, hey, man, what's going on in your life? And you say, yeah, you know, I just started worshiping Jesus and my life has changed. And they go, wow, let me know more about that. It's just a natural byproduct of healthy sheep. They're going to reproduce. They're going to invite people to church. They're going to lead people to the Lord. It's just going to happen naturally. So this church is just going to grow because I'm teaching God's word. And I'm not saying that it's going to grow because I'm teaching God's word, but because God's word is being taught. I mean, you could even put Dave Napier up here and the church, you know, let him teach the word, and the church is going to grow. I mean that in a good way. So you might be asking, where are we going to put all these people? You know, poor Jaime's, you know, traveling around the block a couple times trying to find a way for one of you guys to leave early or something, you know. Where are we going to put all these people? Well, not in this building. We're not going to go to three services, I don't think. I'm not planning on it. Let you know this, that, you know, we have been saving money for a while now. We do have a building fund as part of what we use, the money that's given to this church. You know, we've been setting money aside. We're saving for a move. We've also been talking to real estate agents over the past several months. There is a building that we've come back to a few times that we're considering. That's right around the corner from here. We might move into it. We might not. We're not sure right now. We're not going to start a building program. We're not going to pressure you guys to start giving more and, you know, just come on, dig deep. But you guys might like to know what we're doing. And I just want to let you know that we are looking at other buildings right now. That would incur costs and take some work on our part to do build-outs and all kinds of stuff like that to prepare a place so that we can continue to grow as a church. And so, what's your part in that? What's your part in that? Well, one thing that comes along with growth is the need for more leaders. It's true. As we have more people, we need more leaders. We need more people that are willing to step forward and say, you know what? I'm willing to put my time and energy into making this church work. And I'm willing to step up and say, you know, I'm going to commit my time to serving here at Calvary South Austin. I'm going to enter into a discipleship program where I'm being trained by a leader and I'm going to start training someone else. It's basic Paul, Timothy, Christianity. It's modeled by Paul. Paul took Timothy, trained Timothy up. Timothy became a pastor and started training up others. That's Christianity. Become a part of it. And you might be thinking, well, where am I going to fit that in? Well, sometimes good things have to go so that better things can take their place. Look at your time. It's filled full of good things, I'm sure. But I guarantee you that Paul-Timothy-style relationships are better things. Much better things. And when you find a Paul who can train you up, let you be a part of what's going on here at the church, and then you turn around and and you find a Timothy and you start training them up and discipling them, leading them to God's word and praying with them. And then you see them do the same thing. I mean, that's something that is priceless. When you see people start to get it, start to understand how God can work in their lives, and they start to see how God can use them, and there's no greater joy. I guarantee it. So there's lots of good things that we can spend our time doing. But the best things are the spiritual things. And I would just challenge you to take part in what's going on here. All the things that we've talked about, all the things that are coming in the future, be a part of what's going on here. There's also, you know, financial ways that you can be a part of what's going on here. We're not about to pass a plate. We've actually got buckets that we're going to pass. Some of you guys are new to our church. Some of you guys know what's going on here. We never pass a plate. The last thing that I want someone to do is to feel an obligation to pull their wallet out. Just because if I don't, I'm not going to look so spiritual. And you know, you give out of obligation because you don't want everybody else thinking that you're not spiritual. We don't want that money. I don't want one single dollar to fund this church that was given out of obligation. You just felt obligated to give that money. Don't want it. If you've ever given that kind of money, just let me know. We'll write you a check tonight. We just don't want that money. We want money from people who just feel that cheerful desire to support what's going on here. Because that money has been blessed by God. Not going to try to tell you that, well, if you give a dollar tonight, you're going to get $100 back. The Bible doesn't teach that. All the guys on TBN teach that. I don't teach that. I'm not here to guilt trip you into giving or anything like that. Just understand, when I talk about finances, all that is gone. All I'm saying is this. God might want to use you in a supernatural way to help to provide for the future of this church and the building project that we have coming at some point in time in the future. Just be sensitive to in your prayer life and just ask God, God, do you want to use me? That'd be awesome. But most importantly, prayerfully, pray for the future of this church. Pray for me as a leader because, as I've said many times before, I'm just some dude, you know. I'm just some guy that God called and said, go pastor that church. That doesn't make me super spiritual. That doesn't make me, you know, above reproach. Doesn't make me, you know, without sin. Doesn't mean that I'm always right in step with God's will. Don't ever look at me like that. The minute you do, I'm going to fail you, and then you're going to be bummed out and wish you would have gone to another church. And just know right now that I'm just some guy like you guys out there. And girls, if you can relate to that, then more power to you. But I'm just some dude just like you guys that God just called to this position. Pray for me because I don't want to blow it. You know, I want to lead God's church in God's way. So just pray for me. Pray that our leadership team would also be men of the Spirit who will make decisions that God is leading us to make. We don't want to go put money down on a building that God's not really blessing. We're looking at using the money that you've dedicated into God's hands. We want to use that spiritually. We don't want to be flippant with that money or walk in the wrong way. We want to be spiritual about how we use the money that you're committing to this church and to God's work. So just pray for us. Pray for us that we would hear from God. Because when it comes right down to it, Zechariah 4:6 puts it perfectly. And here's what it says. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And that's the vision of this church. That's the future of this church. All these grand things that we've talked about, and there's so much more that God's put on my heart. I just, you know, I got to let you guys go at some time tonight. But all of it can be accomplished in the flesh, I guarantee you. Oh, yeah, we could work it all up, and we could make it all work, and make it all happen. And Corporations do it all the time. We could just become another Fortune 500 company. But that's not what we want, is it? We want to see God's Spirit at work, doing spiritual things in and through us. So be prayerful. Because it's not by might. We're not going to go force our way into the future of God's will. It's not by power. It's not going to be because we all come together and agree that, you know, we're going to do it. We're not going to build a work of the flesh here. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So just pray. Pray that God would lead us into taking spiritual steps and keeping in His will so that we can accomplish His vision here at Calvary South Austin. Amen? Let's pray.